Data Bytes. Hello everyone and welcome to a brand new episode on the Denodo Data Bytes series. I'm your host Neha, and today we are diving into a topic that's transforming how businesses think about data and decision making, the evolution of AI. From the early days of descriptive and predictive analytics to the explosion of generative AI and the rise of agentic models, enterprise AI is advancing at lightning speed. But with every leap forward, new questions emerge, and many organizations are still playing catch-up. To help us unpack this transformation, I'm joined by Kevin Bohan, Director of Product Marketing at Denodo, who brings deep insight into how AI is reshaping data strategy across industries. So without further ado, let's get started. Kevin, welcome to the show. Glad to have you back. Yeah, so our audience are eager to hear from you.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm really excited about this session.
Wonderful. So let's get started with the first question then. So how would you describe the major phases of AI's evolution in the enterprise?
Sure. And I think to really understand, you have to take a look at what was around before generative AI. Certainly, there's a lot of hype around generative AI, but you know, organizations using AI, ML models, those models were primarily focused on making predictions. Is this loan applicant appropriate for providing the loan to them, or predicting when a machine might need maintenance so it avoids any costly downtime, surfacing content to a user on a social media platform or a news website that's likely for them to engage with. Models that were designed for one specific function, and it was primarily making a prediction based on the information it was trained on. Then the introduction of generative AI changed that. Generative AI was a lot different, where it focused on content creation, responding to a prompt and generating whether it's text or image or video, whatever the case might be. These were powered by large language modules that were done a little bit different than the previous models. They were trained on diverse data sets, and these learnings were around general language patterns rather than just narrowly focused specific tasks. And with that knowledge, what they were able to do is handle a variety of different tasks. And I think that's what really drew people in. They were able to basically put in a prompt of anything and get back responses that were very accurate, and it really took off. The key here is generative AI was specifically focused around, as I mentioned, responding to prompts that a user put in. Earlier this year, end of last year, the real focus shifted in that whole adoption of AI with the focus around agentic AI. And agentic AI is building agents that would autonomously act. They would build plans. They would execute those plans, and it would adapt their actions based on the information that was, you know, gathered by the programs. And they were designed to achieve a specific goal. So you're having these agents that might be designed for a specific use case. But the key is minimal to no human intervention involved. And the way that these are built is using reasoning models or deep research models that break down the tasks into multiple steps, and they're able to deliver nuanced answers to complex questions. So it goes further than what we were able to do with generative AI. But whether you're talking generative AI or deep research, they're both built leveraging these large language modules, where the secret to success, or the foundation which these are built on, is basically being able to provide context, which means that you need access to data that's going to be able to provide the context by which those responses should come back to. So enterprises have to think how they're going to build that data foundation to support these types of new agentic AI programs that they have underway.
Very interesting. Thank you for sharing, Kevin. So I'm eager to know more about this. So my follow-up question for you is, what prompted this industry-wide pivot to generative AI then?
The answer, I think, is real simple. I think most know too. The release of ChatGPT and the explosive, you know, LLM capabilities, like the understanding of what's possible now with these new LLMs, immediately had everyone see tremendous potential. In just 5 days, OpenAI or ChatGPT had 1 million users in just 5 days. So instantly people saw the value. To compare that to some other things that were like hugely successful right out of the gate, Instagram, to get to 100 million users, took them about 2.5 years, I think it was. TikTok, I think it took them about 9 months. ChatGPT achieved the 100 million users in under 2 months. So, I mean, it took off right away. And as you could imagine, if that many people are using it, instantly people started thinking, wow, we could apply this at work or in the enterprise to do tremendous things. And I think part of the big interest and what drew people in is the ability for it to just take natural language and understand what the user's looking for. So no longer were enterprises going to be bound to, like, okay, if we needed to have somebody get access to certain information, they'd need to have pre-built dashboards or pre-built reports. It really opened the door tremendously for the potential of data self-service in the reporting phase, but also tremendous value in other areas, like I mentioned, around, you know, images or even code development. And in contrast, as I mentioned earlier, what was around before, which is still tremendously valuable. So it's not as though these are replacing what we did with ML and previous AI, you know, initiatives, but those were very limited in providing responses to a specific use case. And the possibilities now with these large language modules and natural language interfaces for the end users is just tremendous. It allows people to really, you know, explore and find the answers to the questions that they have, and they're not bound to what might be presented on a dashboard or a report.
Thank you for sharing that, Kevin. So my next question for you is, speaking of agentic AI, how is agentic AI different from traditional Gen AI?
Sure. So agentic AI is very interesting. When you start looking at what's happening behind the covers, it's really, really cool. With agentic AI, when they're looking to perform a task, it builds a plan. It reasons, and just like a human would say, and if you had a task in front of you, you break it down into smaller tasks, and then it starts taking action to execute on that plan. The plan is, you know, set for a specific purpose, you know, what that agentic application or agent is designed to do. But what it's able to do is, in that decomposing of what needs to take place, it then can call specialized agents designed for a specific role and have each of them collaborate, bring back, and then all of the information is then compiled, and this complex workflow is all handled behind the scenes. So it's really starting to do that reasoning that we as humans are able to do and break down more complex tasks into multiple projects and then bring it back in, summarize what this is, and allow then the agents to take action. And that might be to then, you know, present those findings to a human to take action, or in many cases, it might automate a process for less, as I'll say, like risky type of transactions and stuff like that. So it's different than generative AI in the aspect of, you know, this could be triggered by something taking place that doesn't necessarily require that human prompt and the response coming directly back to the human, but it's really designed to start embedding these types of functions, this type of reasoning and logic into applications. So it's really that next generation, even though this you know, previous generation's only been, you know, maybe 24 months or less, but it's really exciting to think of what's possible with these new types of agentic AI initiatives that are taking place.
It's really amazing to see the speed at which things are changing so much nowadays.
Oh, it's crazy.
Like you said, the era of Gen AI barely lasted like 24 months, and now we're on to the next thing. To summarize, I think agentic AI is definitely taking things a bit further, and it doesn't just respond, but it also plans, reasons, and acts with purpose. So this is something much more advanced than the earlier version of Gen AI that we had. My next question, why has AI's effectiveness become so tightly tied to data infrastructure?
Yeah, great question. There's a saying or a principle out there that, you know, AI is only as smart as the data that it's able to use and access. To have these large language modules be effective, you need to be able to provide it with quality data. these models are only going to be accurate, they're only going to be trusted if the responses that they're coming back with are something that is, you know, accurate and, you know, the users understand and you know, willing to act on, or trust the, you know, letting these agents take action without it, you know, first challenging. And there's a number of different, I'll say, obstacles or challenges that AI app developers run into when they're looking to do this. The reality is, in most enterprises, data is distributed between various systems. It's in things like data lakehouses. There's operational systems that are processing information in real time. And it, you know, if these applications are going to truly have an accurate look at the business at that moment, they need access to that information in those operational systems as well. But also, these systems are storing the information in a format that makes sense to the internals of that application, but it doesn't necessarily map to how the business users are thinking of the information. So there's a disconnect between that. How you get the information out, there's different, you know, SQL dialects between on the different systems. So there's a lot of nuances in how are you getting at the information? How are you going to be able to leverage that and provide it to the LLM so they can make the, you know, the proper, you know, logical reasoning and then get back to the users, whether it's, you know, talking generative AI or these agentic systems. The other thing that's also a challenge is, how do you make sure you're not exposing information to these systems that that person who's submitting the request wouldn't normally have access to? So there's proper security and governance around that as well. So the ability to not only give access, but make that access available in real time, that you have a semantic definition or a semantic understanding or bridge between the technical metadata within these applications and the type of language that the business users are using when they're providing the prompts or the, you know, the things that triggered the, you know, the agents to take action. And also the importance of security and governance is all key. And you need to deal with that as an organization if you're going to have that ability to surface AI-ready data to these new applications, to these new agents that are being built. So that's the key is, you know, organizations have to take a step back and understand what it means to be able to provide AI-ready data to these systems and what data foundation is needed to be successful. And that's a lot of the work that we do when I'm working with clients and alike. It is really, how do you take what they have in terms of the wealth of information they have and surface that in the form of AI-ready data?
Very well said, Kevin. Thank you so much. And it really ties back to what you mentioned earlier in the episode as well, where you mentioned like AI is only as good as the data it has. So we keep going back to the same point that without clean, connected, real-time data, AI simply cannot deliver the results that we expect. But with that foundation, if we can move towards reasoning models in this upcoming part, can you tell us what these reasoning models are and why are they such a big deal?
Sure. The reasoning models, and I mentioned it earlier in another form of called deep research, they're called by a number of different names. But when I talked about agentic AI and, you know, AI agents being able to do this reasoning and building out a plan and then executing those plans to get, you know, various information by calling different agents, that all was powered by these reasoning models or deep research models. And it's very interesting, you know, I mentioned, you know, building out this execution plan and then calling multiple agents. But what's really interesting or cool is when it pulls back the information from the different agents, it's able to analyze the information. And if it realizes, hey, this is really interesting, this information I found here, I should probably also go and get some additional information based on what I just learned. So it's much, very much like what a skilled data analyst would do. It gets information, it builds its understanding, and now it says, wow, I have to reevaluate the plan I built originally, add some additional tasks, go execute those tasks to go gain additional knowledge, gather all of that information, and then come up with their findings. So it's incredible when you look at the output from some of these, you know, deep research modules, and they show you transparently exactly what it did, how it executed, what queries and what forms it went to go get information from. It's incredible. I've seen somewhere it's, you know, 50, 100 different queries of different data sources to pull back different information to come up with the findings and come up with its recommendations. So it's incredibly powerful. And while this isn't, you know, as quick as the responses you might get from ChatGPT when you put in a simple response, some of these might take 10, 15 minutes, but it's doing the work that, you know, a traditional data analyst may have taken days or weeks to do. And it's giving you that information in a detailed, you know, report, so you understand what it did, how it did it, and you can, you know, have that faith, that confidence and trust in the findings that it came back from. So it's really interesting. If you think about the potential there, you can go and ask a question and those models are going to go combine market, financial, operational data to uncover new growth opportunities for your organization. And all of that will happen in, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes, and you see all of the logic that it did there. It truly is transformational. And now, you know, the key in some of those challenges said, well, how do you make sure that you have that data, the proper data foundation in place? But it's really exciting to think about how this is truly going to augment the, you know, decision making that's going to be available with inside of organizations. I don't necessarily think of this as, you know, this is going to replace, but it has a tremendous power to augment what, you know, the expert judgments that you already have with the people with inside of your organization. When they get the wealth of knowledge that's going to be able to come back from this deep research, this deep reasoning that these models are now doing, it's really, when you start looking at it and evaluating its potential, it's really exciting to just think of, you know, what's going to be possible in the next 6, 12, 18 months. It's really cool.
It was really fascinating to understand how AI has evolved from delivering simple answers to driving deep strategic insights. And for our listeners, it's worth remembering that if you're thinking about how to future-proof your data strategy, understanding this evolution is an essential part of the journey. So once again, thank you so much, Kevin, for joining us and sharing your expertise with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I always enjoy joining you and having a conversation. So
thank you, Kevin. And to our listeners, if you've enjoyed this episode, please head over to denodo.com/podcast to find out more resources on all things data.